91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio. Our programming is made possible by community-minded businesses like Jamden's Restaurant and Catering, and by listeners like you.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily shared by Radius Communications Incorporated, operators of 91.3 FM CJTR.
Game Day Radio, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina's Community Radio, Sideshow, at Mr. Sean Hall, at Smarmy Luke. We're doing Twitter handles.
Yeah,
we're this at is at Sideshow.
We're like the National Lacrosse League.
We are, without the rough stuff.
Well, we're about to find out.
We'll find out. And very special guest Well, let's just introduce him as offensive coordinator of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Coach Bob Dice. Glad to have him in the studio. there we go. Thud.
Well, no, this is where he gets to say hi.
Oh, hey. Thanks for having me, guys. Okay, well, glad to have you. We'll see you. We'll talk to you again sometime.
It's just us talking to a wall for an hour. You have to assume it's Bob Dice, okay?
That's exactly right.
I'm just using my special voice.
Your inside voice?
Yeah. Hey, it's Bob Dice.
That's right. Okay. We need to, first of all, thank the Saskatchewan Roughriders for their great support, ongoing support.
Yeah,
I think they're a little busy. You think Coach or GM BT is a little busy around there right now?
I don't know. If only we had somebody from the Rider organization to ask these questions.
I know. I guess we'll have to just guess. Glad to have you along.
Well, you know what? I'm really, really thankful, and thankful for you guys giving me the opportunity to be on your show.
And in return for him appearing, I drew up some plays that used in grade six. On the playground.
Flag football.
Little flag football, yeah. Turn right at the bike rack.
Basically guaranteed to work.
Streak to the swing set.
Yeah.
Those plays are what got you this sports show on.
Exactly. when the brain trust of this station saw my football prowess, they knew they had to have me.
So this guy knows his X's and O's.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm good at tic-tac-toe as well. Busy week in the Rider office. How did that impact you?
Well, you know, last week with the dawning of free agency, we obviously it was exciting times. You know, you never know what's going to happen in free agency, but obviously looking to build the team, and obviously our personnel department led by Brendan and Jeremy O'Day did a great job bringing in some nice talent for us.
Definitely. Now, Bob, you said you never know what's going to happen at free agency. Is that actually truth? You had no idea where the Riders were going to go with free agency this year?
Well, you don't know who's going to sign, per se.
Right.
You,
sure.
You have an idea of where they're targeting. You know,
yep.
We have a great personnel department, you know, like I said, led by Brendan, and with Jeremy's done a great job in his transition from a player to now our assistant GM, along with Craig Smith in our player personnel department. And, you know, we talk, obviously, and when it comes down to free agency, I think, you know, you look at anything, you see different guys you saw. There were somewhat releases that, well, someone was going to sign somebody, and then they ended up somewhere else. So you never know. Brendan does a great job of never saying anything until the contract's signed.
No, you were the receivers coach in 2010, 2011. The offensive coordinator now, you must have addressed it somewhere, obviously with new head coach Corey Chamberlain as well, the need for a couple of more offensive linemen. Now Dominic Picard and Labatt are in town. Can you talk with those two guys?
I certainly can. You know, in a previous life when I worked with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, drafted both those guys obviously under Brendan's guidance. And so I did a lot of research with regards to those guys, and, you know, they've both flourished as professionals. You know, them becoming free agents at the same time, at a time where we needed players of their ability was just outstanding. You know, when you look at the two of those players, one thing they're known for is their physical toughness and aggressiveness. And, you know, one of the things that's an area where we wanted to improve. I mean, obviously great players and technicians, but they certainly bring a mean streak as well.
Well, it seems like both of those guys, products of the Canadian system, right? Football Saskatchewan, one guy, Labatt, he's from here. Mm-hmm. Picard's a Quebec guy, and Saskatchewan and Quebec have, you know, classically been, you know, Canadian powerhouse
right.
players. You were a big guy with the Winnipeg with Winnipeg analyzing the CFL players coming into the draft, correct?
You're correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and your experience like working with the Canadian talent and what we've seen in the Canadian University game being elevated, I think, the junior program, a couple of Regina Thunder guys, Paul Waldo now re-signed, part of the Regina Thunder program.
Without a doubt. You know, one thing I've seen over the years, you know, I've been in this league now for 11 years, and you look at where the Canadian college game is, I'll start off there, compared to 11 years ago. You look at it, you know, I mean, there's kids going straight to the NFL from Canadian college, right, where that never happened in the past. You know, in my time at University of Manitoba, coached Israel Adonijé. And you look at him, he's a 10-year veteran. And the game has gotten so much better, the coaching has got so much better that they're producing kids. I'm not going to say, well, I look at it like this. My son's going to be graduating high school next year, and, you know, I always thought with my kids, oh, I'm going to send them to the U.S., send them to the U.S. If my son ends up playing at University of Regina, I know he's going to be coached very well. And so when you look at kids, you know, you talk about, I always looked at Canada West, especially as an area for linemen, because these kids are, the way they prepare, they play, they almost play like CFL players. They have to cross the nation, go across, fly. They have to travel when they play away games. So they're already set for the pro game. And then you see Laval, that's just been an outstanding program.
Do you think maybe what's happened is you don't have those hidden gems in Canada anymore, where the borders are kind of gone, where it's the cream rises to the top? Like, if you're a good Canadian receiver, you're going to get a shake in the States. Like, say, Cisco, who's on our, you know, as the receivers coach, talk like, you know, so Colton Solomon was a Thunder product. He's going to be back in. Cisco is a wide receiver. Do you see any of these guys filling some roles with the departure of Andy and Kerry Koch?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I'm very excited to see how Jordan progresses. You know, some people say he hasn't progressed fast enough for a first-round draft pick. I don't see it as that. I see, you know, Jordan came into a very challenging situation. You look at, personally, obviously I'm biased, but the Canadian talent we have on our roster isn't very easy to crack. You look at, you had Andy, Chris Getzlaff, Rob Bagg, you know, so these are all guys he's fighting to get onto the field.
There's a reason why our receiving corps was called the Canadian Air Force and not anybody else's, right?
Without a doubt. And so when I look at Jordan's progress, I'm excited. I'm very excited. He's going to have a great opportunity in front of him.
With Andy leaving to free agency to Hamilton, Coach Mike Walker a month or so ago had addressed the issue with the defensive line, and he kind of said, well, you know, we'll be special, we'll be really good if Brent Hawkins is good, and he, you know, I mean, they'll be okay no matter what. Is there a guy that you need to step up from a Canadian that you know, obviously Bagg is going to come back hopefully and be okay from his injury. We sort of saw what Getzlaff can do in an increased role last year. Is there somebody else in the system that you need to take that next step for you guys to be okay from a Canadian content point of view?
Well, you know, I really feel we're going to be more than okay.
Right.
You know, if you guys have ever had a chance to meet Robbie Bagg, you would know I expect him to be 100% or even better than he was before his injury. I don't know a harder working guy or a better pro than Rob. You know, Jordan, obviously, like I said, I'm excited to see him play and get out. You know, when he got hurt last year was right when he was getting his taste of game action.
Right.
And so it was really too bad.
Yeah.
And as I look at his development, I'm excited to see, because Jordan's a talented player, and I look forward to him, seeing him step on the field and have a more significant role.
With your background evaluating Canadian talent, is there anybody on the radar in the system that you know, with draft day coming up, what, in May?
Don't want to give that away, Sideshow.
Well, okay.
You
know, all right.
You know, the teams across the league are listening to us right now to get hints from Bob Dice about who to draft. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Don't have to name names. But is there anybody that's kind of caught your eye, or do you have that kind of relationship where you know, you say, hey BT, I'm looking at you know, this kid out of whatever. That's someone you may want to have a look at.
You know, right now, you know, really what our focus is in the office is putting together our offense for the upcoming year. We're going to have time to watch the draft. And like I talked about, our personnel department being outstanding. They know who's in the draft. You know, there's names out there that you hear a lot of, and you've seen certain guys at different All-Star games previous. You know, they play the East-West game out there at Western or McMaster, and so I get to see a couple of these guys before they come eligible for their draft. And so there's certainly names, and you know, guys who are on the radar, as you say, and just get a little more in depth here as we get closer to the draft.
Now, what about unconventional ways of finding players? We got this new guy who the Riders signed, Demetrius Crawford.
Yes.
Right? I'm sure you saw his video.
Yes.
We released Wes Cates. Brandon West looks like he's going to be a front runner. We got this guy Sheets. Looks like there's a lot of young, exciting running backs coming into camp. And as the defensive coordinator, you must be excited about that as well.
Without a doubt. You know, first thing I want to say is West Cates, outstanding pro. And, you know, he'll be missed, and just a great leader as a player. But we all know this is a business. Yeah. And I wanted to say that about Wes. You know, obviously excited about the new guys we have coming in. You know, running back's an interesting position. It's one thing, you know, I think we're a little away from the time where we had Charles Roberts leading the league for 7 years. Things like that, or a Mike Pringle. And you're seeing that, wow, a guy's around for 1 or 2 years, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's a new guy. Yeah. And it's a challenging and takes its physical toll on guys. And really looking forward, you know, everything I've seen and heard about these two guys, I've seen Crawford's, saw one video, there was no football on it, but he was working out.
This is what I'm saying. Is this guy hype? Is just that he's just a jack guy who has a slickly produced video? Or is he a guy you guys really expect to come into camp and challenge for a starting job?
Well, I certainly know these. Brendan doesn't give out free tickets to Regina, just to anybody. So I think he's going to come in and compete. You know, as you can tell from the video, he's not a huge guy. Everything I've seen him do when he was playing, I mean, he's an outstanding talent. I mean, to be his size and be able to even get invited to a camp like this, you have to be a pretty gifted player.
Well, he's what, 5'9", 185-ish, I think, is the stats.
Oh. Yeah,
something like that, or is that being a little generous?
It may be a little.
I mean,
generous.
The guy is a physical specimen, though. I mean, he's in tremendous shape in that.
Without a doubt. I mean, you anyone like that, you know, they have to be extremely quick to have success.
I noticed. I think this was a signing yesterday. QB Levi Brown from Troy University. Do you know anything about him? I don't really know too much about him. I wanted to know if you had any insight on that.
You know, they told me just before I was leaving that there's a possibility that he'd be signing. Do a little research. Actually, as I was leaving the office, I heard Jeremy talking to Coach Jones about another quarterback. And so, you know, we get the information, and then we'll take a look and deduce from there.
Well, yeah, Levi was in Buffalo Bill. He was a draft pick of the Buffalo Bills. Was the fourth guy there, and looked good. I mean, there was some press on him that you know, for the fourth guy, so
it seems to me obviously Darian's the number one. It looks like there's going to be a bit of battle in camp for who's the Ryder backup quarterback this year.
Yeah, between Cole. You know what? I think me for a fourth guy would be a great sign. You should tell BT that I'm under 6 foot, so I'm not going to be a flight risk to the NFL.
Okay.
I'm cap friendly. You know, my season tickets are about $500. I'll just pay that rate to you to stand on the sideline.
Sounds good.
Ratio breaker.
Oh, there you go. You know what? That's an interesting point. Exactly.
It doesn't matter. That's
quarterbacks
right.
Don't make a difference in the ratio.
Okay. So obviously you guys will be probably seeking out a fourth arm for camp, even just for practicality purposes. That seems to be the...
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. It'll be more than practicality. You're exactly right when you say the job behind Darian is very open. I mean, heck, one thing you know in this league, very seldom does somebody play 18 games. So we want to make sure that whoever it is, our number two is able to step in and win games for us when he's called upon. So in that regard, it's going to be a very open camp, and we're bringing in guys to compete. You know, one thing you don't want to have is, I mean, obviously you want Darian to be comfortable in his role, but you always want to make sure we're comfortable with the next man who's coming in.
Right.
So speaking of compete, Bob, obviously everybody knows that the Riders had a little bit of a rough season last year. Brought in almost entirely new coaching staff, a lot of new faces. I mean, what is it like in the front office? What is the feeling? Is there a ton of excitement about how good the Riders are going to be this year? Do we feel like we've addressed the biggest needs on the team?
Oh, without a doubt. First off, to answer your first question, we're extremely excited. I think, you know, in the transition of staffs, you know, I just look offensively. Last year on offense, and this isn't a slight to the other guys, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Last year on offense, I was the youngest coach by 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm the oldest offensive coach. So when you look at the guys like Jason Tucker, Kahari Jones. These are young guys who aren't that far removed from their playing career. And I think what that does is give them an instant credibility to the guys that they're going to coach. But they also have a few years. Kahari's been an offensive coordinator in this league. He knows this league. He played 10 years in this league. So they bring an exuberance and a youth. Chris Sweet, our offensive line coach, I think he's only 38 years old. Again, if you've ever seen Coach Sweet coach, he works as hard as the players do when they're out there on the field. So a ton of exuberance and excitement from there, and defensively it's the same thing.
While we're talking about the coaching stuff, now I know as a hardcore Rider fan, that's what I was growing up, and a lot of the other Rider fans out there, and we've talked about it in this program, your offensive coordinator, you're listed as now the running back coach as well.
Yes.
And now Chris Sweet is the run game coordinator. This division of pass game coordinator, run game coordinator, seems to me, in title-wise anyway, has been kind of a new thing in the last couple years of football. Yeah. Now, with that in mind, you bring in Kahari Jones, who was offensive coordinator in Hamilton last year. I'm just saying, from a Rider fan perspective, too many cooks in the kitchen with play calling and that kind of thing. Does that concern you? How do you address that? How do you feel about that?
Oh, no, I don't feel any. I'm excited to have guys. My role as a coach is to draw on everything around me. You know, so I'm drawing from Kahari's experience as a pass coordinator and his knowledge as a quarterback who's played in this league. With regards to Chris, you know, being the run game coordinator, what it does is, I know one thing that was important to me is to have an experienced CFL coach who had a great understanding of the game, pass protections and the run game. If you look at Calgary's run game, they've been extremely successful in that area. And so when it comes to play calling, my role is the play caller. So I don't think there's any blending or any concern in that regard. I think it's just a drawing of everybody's experience and working together.
So just to clarify that, that's the game day pecking order. Obviously, you're not going to be in between plays consulting with everybody. You're the guy calling the plays. What about in the week of prep? So you're breaking down film and you're asking for contributions from the other components of your coaching staff. They help you, I assume, put together the offensive package for the team that you're going to be coming up against?
Without a doubt. You know, the plan is simply this. I mean, it's a conglomeration of different ideas.
Right.
You know, one thing where you can get challenged as a coordinator, I believe, is just believing your ideas are the best. With this group of guys, and what I'm finding is there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat and different ways to do things. I think, you know, where people get into a challenge sometimes is for me to sit there and think, I know the best way to pass block this play, the best way to protect this play, I know the best way to run block it, and think my way's highway. You guys go do what I tell you to do. Tell your players how to do that. That's not the way. I look at Chris as a technician and that being his specialty. I don't need to know the schemes better than him or feel I know the schemes better than him for us to be successful. That's his area of expertise, just like Jason in the receivers. Jason, I think, will relate to these guys fantastic. And then Kahari in the quarterback play. Now, my role is just like a GM of a radio station. I got to manage the sales department. I got to manage the guys who are on air, and I got to manage the finance. And I put it all together, obviously, in the end, when it comes to play calling. But their ideas of, hey, it's first and 10. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's the line saying? How are they feeling? We can attack. Right. I mean, it's a group effort.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And then come game day. Well, you know what? No, before I go there, I've got a question for you. So, you contributed in the same way last year. For the first half of the year, you had Doug Berry, offensive coordinator. No offensive coordinator named beyond that. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. What if you had to look back at 2011? What do you think the challenge is? Where did we go wrong? Where did the offense struggle in your mind?
I will say this to anybody who asks me, which a lot of people do.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, a term I use sometimes is hubris, expecting things to be a certain way. I think, you know, 2010, we went to the Grey Cup, and what happened was, I believe in 2011, we almost expected to pick up right where we left off. And it just doesn't work like that. I mean, a football team or an offense, you have to go back down to the foundation and rebuild it every year. And I think, you know, maybe whether we didn't, because I was part of it, I mean, I was part of the challenge, we didn't break it down to the foundation again and to rebuild it. It's like we tried to start on the second floor and didn't pay enough attention to the foundation and just expected things to roll. You know, you got to get that big rock moving and then keep it going and get the momentum going slowly, and then build and go forward.
Luke had mentioned something earlier about keeping a coaching staff together for a little while to find consistency. Do you find that's important? And obviously with another big changeover in the Riders coaching staff, I mean, you were talking about how you were the youngest by how many years. Now you're the oldest. And, you know, Corey Chamberlain, 34, he's even younger than me. There's a whole bunch of new challenges in with this new staff. Do you guys feel you can be successful right away?
Our goal is to win right now. The thing is this, we were in earlier than I've ever been in.
I like hearing that.
Yeah, we're here working now to ensure that we're successful. You know, everyone looks at the challenge of being 5-13. It is what it was. You know what? And we were 10-8 the year before that, and we were Western representatives in the Grey Cup. We know we're a lot closer to that team than we are a 5-13 team, and we know our goal right now is to win the off season. And that's what we're doing as coaches in preparing to put the players in the best position. Because that's our role, is to put the players in the best position to succeed. And that's what we're working on right now.
Yeah, I think that what you said, yeah, your goal is to win the offseason. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's anyone in the CFL right now that would say that the Saskatchewan Roughriders, at least up till now, aren't the winners in the offseason.
I agree.
And I really don't see that there's any way that anyone else can come out on top of what we've done. We're pretty biased.
But
that's true, but I mean, like you were saying, Bob, as far as, you know, according to what front office wanted to do, what the brass wanted to get done, we got it. You guys seem to have been able to get it all done and sign, a great start to an O-line. On the O-line spot, though, a legend retired just recently, obviously, Gene Mikowski. I know that we're looking forward to our O-line. I know I certainly am. I'm sure that everybody is. But just tell us a little bit about, inside the locker room, what Gene Mikowski brought to an offensive line.
Well, I will say this. First off, I considered, and I told him this just before the press conference that he was announcing his retirement, I'm very thankful I had the 2 years to work with him. You know, in this league, and I know we call it a professional football league, Gene was a true pro. You know, some guys are leaders, they're screaming, rah, rah, rah. Gene didn't have to do that. You know, whether he led by example. And when he was called upon to talk, he always did an outstanding job to talk to his teammates and do whatever. But Gene, like I said, Gene led by example. And, you know, that'll be a difficult thing to replace as his leadership skills. But, you know, luckily we have a guy like Dan Goodspeed who's been around the league for a little while. And, you know, even in speaking with Brendan Labatt, I know Brendan is looking forward to taking a leadership role as well as Dominic. But to get back to Gene, one thing you can never have is replace his experience. And, you know, it'll take a little time, but, you know, new coach, new schemes. So it'll be a transition period, but, you know, like I said, I'm just thankful I had the opportunity to work with Gene.
This season coming up for 2011, we're going to be, and I'm just talking offensive side of the football, we're going to be minus three significant leaders in that dressing room. Gene Mikowski, obviously, Wes Cates, I think, as a guy, is as good a guy as you're going to get. You know, had some real good years running the Rock. Andy Fantuz, his leadership will be missed. Who are the guys you're looking for to step up? And I mean, we still have the core. We still have Darian and guys like Rob Bagg will make their return. Anyone else that...
Well, you know, and I think it's probably not seen as much because he is such a quiet guy. But Weston Dressler, you know, when you look at the production Weston has had over in his time here in Saskatchewan, I mean, it's outstanding. There's another guy who doesn't necessarily scream, but there isn't anybody, I don't know, who really practices harder. I mean, if there's a helmet being thrown in practice, it's probably Weston's. People probably wouldn't realize how, I don't know if there's anyone more competitive. He and Rob, being as close as they are, they're extremely close guys, two of the greatest competitors that I know. But, you know, Weston, obviously, he'll step his game up as a leader. And that sounds wrong because he is a great leader, kind of similar to Gino. I mean, Weston does his work and do a great job for us.
I know you're an offensive guy, but a guy that was here in Ryder Green a few years back and brought him back again this offseason, Mo Lloyd.
Yeah.
Are you guys looking for big things from him in the leadership department? Maybe not necessarily to come in and start on the defensive side of the ball, but really be one of those a tunnel guy, an in-your-face guy, one of those rah-rah guys that, quite frankly, for me anyway, watching, like, with the loss of Kitwana, I thought that little bit of swagger, hate that word, but was lacking last year. And Mo Lloyd seems like a swagger guy that was a need that's been addressed. What are you guys expecting from him?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting situation, you know, with Mo. I know we're looking forward to his experience, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you're off for a year, you realize how important the game is to you.
Yeah.
And I really can't speak to Mo a lot because I haven't been around Mo. All I know is from the opposite side, he was a heck of a player, and he really flew around. I don't know the guy he is on the field or in the locker room. We have some guys on defense, and I think that are going to be stepping it up and are higher energy guys, I think. And I think, you know, with the energy from the coaching staff, I think, you know, sometimes the environment that you're in not brings people down, but makes them a little quieter. And I think you're going to see out on the field probably a little louder or a lot more energy out on the field, and I think you'll see more coming out of the guys.
Yeah, I think I really like that you brought that up, what you said about missing it, you know, sitting out a year, and then you kind of realize what's important. And it's not so much a question, but it makes me wonder, maybe Mo Lloyd, maybe that can motivate Mo Lloyd to be the player that he was when he played in Saskatchewan. That'd be really just interesting on a defensive side of the game, because that's that linebacker position is one that's kind of a little bit open.
I think that's a testament to another thing of winning the offseason, where we had those two big O-line signings. We've got the number one draft pick, Paul Waldo, another more Canadian talent for special teams and helping out in DBs, and Mo Lloyd. I mean, the coaching staff, and particularly BT, has been doing a great job, I think.
We got a couple minutes before the end of the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Game Day Radio, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. I'm talking fast because we have Coach, Offensive Coordinator Bob Dice in the room, and we want to maximize our brain picking in that direction. So game day, somewhat consultative between you and Darian in terms of play calling. You addressed it a little bit before in terms of talking to the offensive linemen as to what they see. And I know maybe to the casual fan that might not be. But the offensive linemen really see a lot that's going on. How do you consult with them? I mean, you can't have an earpiece in everyone's helmet.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I think, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit of my thought process with regards to even coming in when Coach Shim was talking to me about, you know, this role. And it's funny, being the pass game coordinator, a lot of guys would think all I'm thinking about is pass, pass, pass. I believe the foundation of your offense is built on your offensive line, and you have to be solid in your run attack and your pass protections. And so to me, that was the most important. Guys like Brendan Labatt, and how do I glean the information? Obviously, it's through their coach as well, as he has an opportunity to sit down and talk to them. But they have a real good feel for the game. I always feel if they're dominating at the point of attack, it's going to be a good day. And one thing, as a coach, you can have whatever ideas you think on film, this is going to be successful. The other coaches work as well. They're lining up in a different front, or they feel this guy is off, and we can attack the weak B gap. I'm going to listen to those guys and go forward from there. It's the same I would with Darian. Darian's on the field. It's an easy thing to say as a coach, look, I've been watching film for hour upon hour, and I know what they're going to do, and this is play better work, and this play is going to work, da-da-da. If they're on the field, then they have to beat against a coach. If I take an inside release here, I'm going to get jammed into linebacker. There's no way. It's like, okay, hey, take an outside release and go. You have to take their input on the field. We can feel that we have a good handle on it, but they're the ones on the field, so you have to have constant interaction.
Is that where you think sometimes that old-school mentality of what the football coach says is going to go, and then there's that disconnect with some players in the field, whereas all of a sudden now the Ryder staff has got this really shot of youth now, whereas it seems like there's this new breed of coach where, say, like the Mike Tomlin in the States, with the Steelers, right? And now everybody's been talking about Chamberlain. Is this something where you guys are communicating more with the players and it's resulting in just, you know, better play calling?
Well, you know, I think it's I don't know if it's an age thing or a new generation type thing. I think at times, no matter what business you're in, communication is key. And I think whoever's a good communicator and able to get their translate their ideas across and listen to people as opposed to just always talking is going to be more successful.
We got to take a break, pay some bills. You listen to Game Day Radio, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina's Community Radio, Sideshow. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
This is the 91.3 FM Business Billboard. Regina Community Radio is delighted with the support of the following businesses.
There's no place like home, and there's no place like the Cooperators for home insurance. That's because the Cooperators have been protecting homeowners just like you for over 60 years. You receive exceptional coverage at the best value, plus the peace of mind that comes from insuring your home with the insurance experts. Call your Cooperators agent. The Cooperators, a better place for you.
If you're expecting company, friends, and family, entertain them with a fascinating and colorful look at Canadian history by visiting the RCMP Heritage Centre. The storied past of Canadians' famous Mounties come to life at the RCMP Heritage Centre. And don't forget to visit the gift shop. For more information, go to www.rcmpheritagecentre.com.
This has been the Business Billboard. Thank you for supporting Regina Community Radio.
Active people have an active pass. The City of Regina Leisure Pass gives you access to our city's 3 leisure centers and dozens of sports and recreation sites. This pass is for everyone, so get moving, stay healthy, and learn something new.
I need a gym where I can train.
I want to try Zumba.
I swim every day. It keeps me young.
Get your leisure pass at all city leisure centers. To find out more, call 777-7000 or visit regina.ca.
91.3 FM CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Our programming is made possible by community-minded businesses like Western Litho Printers and by listeners like you.
We're back, Game Day Radio, 91.3 FM CJTR, Regina's Community Radio. We have offensive coordinator Coach Bob Dice with us.
Yeah, so Sean brought it up a little bit right before the half, and I was so excited to get to talk to you about this. And right before the show, you mentioned that you had met and spoke with Mike Tomlin. At the beginning of the season, or at the beginning, I guess, of when we started hiring these new coaches, one of the things about Corey Chamberlain, I didn't know a lot about Corey Chamberlain. I still honestly don't know tons about Corey Chamberlain. But one thing that really, I'm a giant Steelers fan. Everyone around here knows that. And one thing that really impressed me was all of the good things that Mike Tomlin had to say about Corey Chamberlain when Brendan Taman called him to ask him as a reference for Corey Chamberlain to get the job. I'm just wondering, you've met Mike Tomlin. What does he come across as? Is he,
he comes across, surprisingly, as an everyday guy. That's one of the great things about being at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. I mean, you're on the sidelines, and you're getting an opportunity, to meet these individuals. Corey and I were talking, and all of a sudden, this big guy came up and gave him a bear hug from behind, and he kind of had a hat on and at first and sunglasses, so I didn't notice. And I had always thought Coach Tomlin was a small, like when I say smaller, my size guy, but he's a big dude. And he kind of engulfed Corey, and he was ecstatic. So with the fact that Corey was had become a head coach at such a young age, and kind of following in his footsteps, and he seemed just like a everyday guy, just a confident individual, focused, driven guy.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think, I'm not saying obviously you don't know Mike Tomlin personally, intimately, but do you think that that Coach Chamberlain exudes a lot of the same characteristics that Mike Tomlin does?
Well, on a sideline, because really I met Mike Tomlin for 5 minutes.
Right.
And but if I look at his demeanor on the sideline, I would say they're very similar in that regard, in the fact that they're very driven and very focused. I know Corey from our time in Winnipeg, when we went to the Grey Cup in 2007. That's when we first met. And for such a young guy, you always have a concern, whether a guy's been a player, whether he's going to be able to separate being a player to becoming a coach, and the work that I think the biggest challenge for a lot of players who decide to come coaches, they don't realize the amount of hours that you have to put in. But Corey's always been a very focused and driven individual, kind of very similar to Mike Tomlin, down to business type guy. And so I think in those regards, very similar type guys.
I'm going to ask you one last general question. Then we're going. I want to get into a little bit of game day stuff or on field stuff. So do you submit a wish list to BT in terms of the Canadian draft now? Like you're the guy who got the most presents under the tree here in free agency. I mean, you're kind of the star of the show, right? So do you kind of say, hey, you know, wouldn't mind maybe upgrading here, or is that something that's done kind of more?
He definitely doesn't say it in that voice.
Brendan, please, can you get me another receiver?
Well, I mean, you got to go with what works.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, when it comes down to it, I believe my role as a coach is coach the guys that I'm given.
I don't
say, hey, I need this guy. Yeah. Hey, this guy would be nice, you know. If there is somebody available, you know, maybe in this round, if there's somebody there. But, you know, one thing you have to identify is very seldom in the Canadian draft do you say, I want to go after this guy. Obviously, we have the first pick, so we have the choice in that regards. But I don't say, hey, we should take a receiver in that spot or, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, I just take, hey, bring them to camp and have faith they're going to bring me good players.
Do they ask you? Do they ever come to you and say, hey, if you had a choice, would you like us? Because, okay, for example, a guy, Tim O'Neill, I think, was available at Calgary's. Mm-hmm. Would they come to you and say, hey, if you had your choice between Dominic Picard and Tim O'Neill at center, who would your preference be? Do they do that?
Without a doubt. I mean, again, the same thing I was just talking about before in Wealth is communication is the key.
Right.
And, you know, I think they respect our opinions. But in the end, their reputation is on the line as well. So, sometimes we're all human, so sometimes you get a personal tie to somebody and say, hey, you know, I'd love to have this guy, and he may not possibly be the best guy out there.
Yeah.
So in the end, they're being graded on who they bring in. So if they feel that, hey,
are you referring to the Hamilton coaching staff right now?
Ooh, zing!
I said that, not Bob Dice.
Yeah. Fair enough. Good. Yeah. So the Bob Dice offensive philosophy is.
I would say Bob Dice's offensive philosophy is this. What we are is we're going to be a physical team.
Yeah.
We're going to be a assignment competent team, a team that is very efficient in what we do. I really don't believe you have to do a million things, but what you do, you have to do very well. I think we're going to really try and impose, what we will do is impose our will on the defense. You know, obviously our schemes are going to be to attack whatever the defensive weakness is, but it's more important we're able to do the things that we do. We're going to have an identity of being a strong, like I said, physical, and it's a somewhat aggressive team. I don't believe that you call big plays happen. Big playmakers make big plays happen. You know what? We're going to be consistent and deliberate in how we attack teams.
I'm glad that you said playmakers make the big plays happen. And I look at our offense and I see two numbers, 4 and number 7. To me, those seem like the two big playmakers on our team, and those are the guys that should be getting the lion's share of the ball in their hands most of the time. I think last year's offense, a lot of people were critical of that number, like Dressler didn't get the ball enough, and that Darian wasn't keeping it and scrambling and running as much as he typically did. Can you talk towards that a little, and maybe what you see in 2012 coming up with those two guys?
Without a doubt. You know, I'm going to say this, and not that, you know, I just talked about guys being biased about having, having guys. Well, you know, I'm going to say bias. I'll agree with some of your points. When you have a player of Weston's ability, those guys don't come around all the time. And not only your skills as a receiver, but, you know, sometimes carrying the ball.
Yeah.
Or just putting the ball into his hands in space. He doesn't have to go down the field. You got to do that as many times as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of having a successful offense is putting the ball in your playmaker's hands. You know, obviously Darian gets to touch the ball every play, and you're exactly right. He's one of our playmakers as well, and you know, he's going to be asked to do some things a little different this year. But I think we're going to use him more of a weapon this year than we did in the past.
Yeah, just continuing with that train of thought. Wes Dressler, there's something about that guy. He's a small, I mean, stature is small guy, and sometimes that guy just gets absolutely annihilated out on the field.
Yeah.
But somehow, he always makes the play. He doesn't drop the football. I mean, and you were talking about his practice, you know, his work ethic and his abilities, and I just, you really see it when you watch a guy like Wes Dressler play, because it's not just about him running for 60 yards to get a touchdown. It's about that 10-yard first down that he just got lit up in the middle of the field, and somehow, even though his helmet flew off, the ball is still in his hands.
Well, exactly. And those are the things you appreciate about players. You know, obviously all our guys are pros, and they all work hard, and I appreciate the effort of every single one of them. But, you know, Weston's obviously a guy who's had to prove a number of people wrong throughout his whole career. And he continues to keep doing it. You know, one thing I say, you know, obviously being on a different team before I came in here is, you know, Dressler, yeah, he's a good player. He does his things. Until you're there and you're around him every day and you see the things he does routinely. You know, people see it on the field and they just kind of expect it. They don't realize the work and the effort that he puts in to be the player. I think something probably people don't know. Weston, like I was talking about, was extremely competitive. Over in our workout area, they have a ping pong table, and they keep their records over there. And we were over there just the other night, and Getzlaff was talking. He goes, "Oh, coach, there's the records." And I'll just say there's a lot more ticks besides Weston's name than there were besides Chris. And then I'm talking to Cisco, who was there, and he says, "Coach, I just had a three-point shooting contest with Weston, and I lost." And he says, "Coach, I was hitting him, but he was using his left hand."
Oh, wow. That's
yeah, he's
else.
A little competitive. That's yeah. Awesome. So back to Fatu's going away, and now you hopefully Bag steps in there. Mm-hmm. Getzlaff kind of stepped up and played in an expanded role, I would say. Is that a fair assessment of 2011?
So. Yeah, I think so, with Randy's absence.
So how are you going to use those guys now? Like, you're going to probably want to call on one of those guys to move inside, because they both played outside. Am I not mistaken on that?
Yeah, they have in the past in different years.
Yeah.
You know, I think Rob, and I think it was developing before he had hurt his knee. We really, even though he lined up at wide receiver a lot, we really liked his talents in the slots.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's an extremely quick player. He's a smart player, and we're going to move him around. Obviously, you know, you got guys like Ephraim Hill as well who are coming back, and Ephraim, you know, did well in the time he was in there, and so we're excited to see him play. You know, there's going to be movement of guys around, maybe a little less than you've seen in the past, because like I talked about, I want to make sure everybody knows their role and exactly what they're doing,
right,
and their focus, so they can do their job as well as they possibly can.
I had another question before. Actually, I got some kind of five questions about, so we can get to know
a little
bit more.
Yeah.
So when we reference our friend Bob Dice, we can
friend say, of the
friend show Bob Dice.
Oh, okay.
We know things about him. But one thing I want to ask, just on a personal level, this is your first year as offensive coordinator, correct?
Yes.
Now, most coaches aspire to eventually one day steer the ship, correct? Is that where eventually, you know, head coaching
correct.
Down the road, head coach Bob Dice?
Correct.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, I guess that's all the answer
no,
I'm
no,
for.
Well, you know, I think anyone, I think, you know, as, you know, I mean, I talk to my kids, I think, setting goals is important in your life, and you know, so I have, you know, my goals written out, and you know, my goal was to be a coordinator by the time I was 45, and you know, if I go by the date I was offered the job, I was 13 days late because I turned 46. But yeah, and I have a goal, and I have it specifically written down where I'd like to be a head coach, in the, whether it be in this league or another.
Well,
one.
We're going to try not to run you out of town this year.
No.
We want to keep you at least for two great cups next season. Please stick around for two as OC. We'll try to get you three cups, and then you'll get a whole head coaching job.
And what you're going to want to do, I think they replay the show tomorrow at 10 a.m., so mm-hmm. just distract Coach Chamberlain so he doesn't have to look over his shoulder.
You sir.
That's right. Ah, so that's what you're all about, Coach Dice.
So we want to do it?
Let's go. You know what? Can I ask one? You know what? I might have lost a train of thought on
it's
that.
Okay.
Oh. Well, any free agent Canadian? I mean, there's only. I mean, RJ Franklin might still be out there. Anyone on the out there that you could see might help the ride? I know that's not your call to sign.
No,
those guys,
I think there's always guys going to be out there that possibly. You know,
right.
there's probably a good group of receivers out there. You know, probably led by RJ Franklin.
Yep.
You know, there's Aaron Hargraves, who's been in Winnipeg as well, Matt Carter, who's in Hamilton. You know, there's three guys, three solid additions at receiver. If that was a direction that the personnel department wanted to go in,
right? Yeah.
As well, you know, we'll see what happens in the other areas. You know, I think one thing we gotta understand offensively on the offensive line, we have a couple young guys like Patty Neufeld and Alex Krasnick-Groh, who we drafted last year. You know, we want to see continued development in them, and that's a challenge, right? You don't want to necessarily bring in too many guys, or someone possibly gets overlooked. So, you know, bringing in two guys like Brendan and Dominic helps us out right now, but you're always looking to the future.
So, who, if the season started today, who would be starting at right tackle? with Gauthier gone.
Oh, okay. Well, Alex was left tackle. Oh, sorry. Danny would be right tackle. Signed a good import tackle at Cliff Oldenburg.
Right.
He could possibly be in there, and possibly could be Patty Neufeld.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Patty's a talented kid, and I think sometimes gets overlooked. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, it's hard to say so early.
The competition's on.
Well, without a doubt, and I think that's going to be one thing that's very consistent through this training camp. Probably more so than it has been the last couple years, because this has been a very veteran team with great success. I mean, going back to the 2007 when you beat me personally. No, not me personally. But you beat us in the Grey Cup. Yeah. But then the 2009, you're in the Grey Cup.
There's some resentment here.
I like that.
2009, you're in the Grey Cup. 2010, you're in the Grey Cup. And obviously when you have success, people kind of like to keep things the same. Well, 2011, we weren't as successful. So there's going to be changes, and there's going to be a lot of competition. I was at the Regina Pats game with Jeremy O'Day, and one of our vice presidents, Steve Mazurak, and Jeremy was talking about some of the names these guys have signed. It's going to be an extremely competitive training camp across the board, offense, defense, receiver, running back. Very excited to see get out on the field.
Looking hardly wait. You listen to Game Day Radio, 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina's Community Radio. Special guest, offensive coordinator Bob Dice. Sideshow doesn't know right from left today, so I'm just going to let you...
We're just going to change gears for a minute.
Let's go. Yeah.
We want to find out
the man.
Some more about our new friend of the show.
Coach Bob Dice.
Favorite movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I'm going to say 25 years ago, I would have said Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
But
that's
now,
a good show, yeah.
Nowadays, favorite movie. That's a tough one. Malcolm X, maybe, but Denzel Washington or Man on Fire, one of my favorites.
Right on, we'll take that. Okay, favorite TV show. You probably don't watch much TV because you're a dedicated football coach who's always working at the craft.
Game film.
Yeah,
favorite TV
you're
show.
Exactly. Right now, I'm going to say Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. Good show. Yeah.
Okay, favorite musician. What kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, I think I have rather varied, type of music that I listen to right now. I am going to say, boy, you got me. Favorite musician, because I think a musician, I don't necessarily.
Couple, a group, anything.
Okay.
What's in your car playing right now on the CD?
Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
Sade.
Yeah.
And Nina Simone.
Ooh, eclectic. I like it. Right
Black
on.
And yellow.
Okay, favorite comedian? Favorite stand-up comedian?
Chris Rock.
Oh, wrong answer. Sean Hall was the correct answer. That's what we were looking for. We'll deduct points there.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, of the questions, favorite hockey team?
Even though I'm a Winnipeg Jets season ticket holder, my favorite hockey team is the Detroit Red Wings.
Whoa,
born in Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, and so...
The 23-game home win streak.
Yeah, you got to be excited about that.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, all my friends, my son's Calgary Flames friend, big Jerome McGinley fan. Driving home last night, and I was just giving them the gears how we're just consistently the best team in the league. We may not win it every year.
Well, it's true.
Kids these days are expansion. My kid's a Calgary Flame fan, too. I'm a Leaf fan. That's a tough one to say. Other than football, your favorite sport?
Other than, I don't really have time much anymore. Yeah. I'm gonna give you a combination of two. You know, growing up, basketball was probably my favorite sport. I just happened to be a better football player. And the other one, other than, is soccer. My daughter's on a soccer scholarship at North Dakota State, Brooklyn, and so you know, I've grown up. My wife played soccer very competitively, and so I've spent a lot of time watching soccer, and so I'm going to say give it that. So I say basketball and soccer.
So just on the soccer topic, then World Cup comes around. What's your team? Do you have a?
You know what?
It can't be Canada.
You know what? I say I really don't normally. Jamaica never seems to make it. When it comes to, and right, Canada's very seldom there as well. You know, I really follow the women's Canadian team. My daughter was in the program for a little while, and so women's soccer, I would say there. And then for whatever reason, probably England.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Should we talk hockey?
If you want to talk hockey.
No, you go ahead.
I had a question. Yeah. I think the Riders were the first team to hire a black GM.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. Now we have a black coach.
Yeah.
Predominantly black coaches on the coaching staff now, right?
Really?
This is something we didn't see in the NFL for a while. it wasn't there. Ryder's kind of led the way with the GM, with Roy Shivers. Do you guys, as a young staff now, do you guys feel, not added pressure, but that's something that you guys are definitely... success is something you definitely want to attain for other reasons as well, other than just professional and you know, there's something personal there as well.
Well, I think, you know, I think we're all, first off, the only internal pressure there is internal pressure, and I think we're all highly self-motivated guys, you know. Don't look for external pressure, per se, because if you feel external pressure as being a coach, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, is it something we talk about a lot? Not a lot. Well, you know, we may make the odd joke in the coach's room or something like that. I think, you know, probably our biggest thing is our responsibility to each other. You know, I look at myself, you know, I've been in this league 10 years, Coach Chamberlain, and it's given me the opportunity to be offensive coordinator. You know, in some ways I'm one of two Canadian offensive coordinators, and I guess only the only black one. I don't know, not that I necessarily look at it like that, but as for the race thing, like I said, it's something that's there. I guess it's what, seven of our 10 coaches are black?
Right, which I guess is a testament that we don't really talk about it, that's progressed to the point that we don't need to talk about it,
yeah.
But it was something that was obviously absent for years, right?
Oh, you're exactly right, and you know, in the when you look at history and things like that, you know, this is Black History Month. It's funny, I had written something on my Facebook page, there was a video and it was from the past, and showing things that happened in Birmingham and things like that, and I said, it's hard to believe that this happened in my lifetime.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, you know, like when you have kids, you have to let them know things weren't always like that, and I think it's our responsibility, be it myself or anybody else, to, you know, be thankful of how things are.
Well, it just kind of leads into now, like, with Tebow Mania this last year, and now, of course, basketball. We're not Jeremy fans Lin. Of basketball on this show.
Okay.
But Lin Sanity's going off the hook.
It's crazy.
And they are using, like, Asian puns more than they would for anybody else. And to me, it's something like ESPN used chink in the armor. I want to know if how you feel about that, and if there's something that the Asian athlete's getting different than the black athletes. And I just think it's a little ridiculous. I want to know what your thoughts are.
I certainly think that's ridiculous that was said. You know, Jeremy Lin, obviously an outstanding story, but I don't think it, in some ways, I think, well, it's recognized, and it's just a fact, he's Oriental,
yep.
Or he's Asian, sorry. But that shouldn't be the biggest part of the story. I mean, the bigger part of the story is that this kid is overcome. I mean, obviously, well, what has he overcome? He's from Harvard.
Yeah.
So he's had a pretty good start on life. But he's done, you know, how hard he's fought to become the player that he is. And it's great that he's made the most of this opportunity. His race really shouldn't be brought into it.
I wish it wouldn't matter. And you know what? And now it doesn't. I don't think it matters now. I think it's more of an indictment that at one point it did. It just shouldn't. Yeah. It should not matter.
Yeah, but it always is, you know. And that's the thing. And that's what, you know, you try and impress upon people is, as much as things shouldn't like that, shouldn't matter, they do. And it's a fact of life, and it's the world we live in.
Well, I think a lot of it's, he's in a sports hotbed of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a football hotbed of Regina, Saskatchewan right now, and you've kind of, your role in the organization's been amped up a little.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to deal with, which is kind of a 24/7 news cycle in Ryderville, how are you going to deal with that in this upcoming year when, say, offense doesn't have a good game, and everybody wants to know why you messed up?
Well, you know, that's part of the role, right? You take it with more responsibility. Comes these things. The thing about, you want to be in a passionate environment. As I look at, you know, different guys and the coach in different cities, I'm not going to name them, but the people around don't necessarily care. I mean, I think, you know, when people get upset here, it's because they are so passionate about the CFL. And if it wasn't for fans like Ryder fans, the CFL wouldn't be as successful as it is. So you got to take the good with the bad. We all know everybody in life doesn't have a great day every day. And the difference is if it happens that we don't have a great day, that there's millions of people watching. And, you know, people have the right to voice their opinion, you know, but you have to have strong belief in that you're doing the right things. And if you continue to do them on a consistent basis, you'll have success.
And I'm sure that Coach Doug Berry gave you the list of outerline grocery stores that you can go to when the heat's turned up in July. And, passing of a CFL legend on was it Friday that Coach Murphy went to the big film room?
Saturday.
Yeah, Coach Murphy to the big film room in the sky. Good, great man. CFL legend, you had with some interaction with him.
Without a doubt, back in, I hate to say it, 1988, Coach Murphy signed me to my first contract and was a coach in Winnipeg. And so, obviously, growing up in Winnipeg, great CFL history with you know, Coach Murphy being there. Just a great man, you know. Sometimes, you know, in sports, you know, we always take people, give them accolades for what they've done in sport, not necessarily for the person that they are. And biggest thing I take of Coach Murphy was he's a great man, through very good morals as a person, willing to help people. Even the time, I mean, obviously up until I guess I saw him here in December would have been the last time I saw him. Still working hard for the Indianapolis Colts. Throughout the season, always talking, giving you tidbits of knowledge. First met him, his son Mike was in a high school all-star game that I played, and just a great man.
I'd made the comment on Twitter on yesterday that he was my Whitney Houston, in the sense of, like, he's attached to so many childhood memories. I grew up on the CFL game, and Cal Murphy was just a staple that was always there. And if you're a young football fan, you knew who Cal Murphy was.
Absolutely,
so, you know, I'm 35 now to see him. He's been around for my entire life, and it was really, I was sad yesterday. It was a tough day.
Yeah. No, I got to meet him personally on a couple of occasions, I think he came across in football circles as being a little cantankerous, and he was. But when you got to know him as a guy, you're right. Heart of gold, genuinely nice person, and didn't seem to have that. He kind of had that grandfatherly wisdom and patience about him. And
Without a doubt. I mean, and you look at. I mean, there's so many people in our league who've been influenced by him.
Yeah.
He'll continue to live on in this league for a very long time.
My one of my greatest memories. I lived in my wife and I got married in 94. Lived in Winnipeg for a couple of years in the mid 90s. And him being interviewed on CJOB saying "Hell's bells" after a couple of times in a post game press conference. I forget what the question was even.
Yeah.
I thought, what coach could do that on air? There you go. Anyway, you had something else?
I was going to say, CJTR Lotto, pick up your tickets.
Oh, hey, that's right.
The lotto's going on right now.
That's right, the Look and Listen Lottery coming up here. Great grand prize, trip for two to New York City, return airfare for two, four-star hotel, three nights. This is actually a heck of a package. Broadway tickets, Mets or Yankees baseball tickets. What would you pick, Mets or Yankees, if you had the choice?
Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your baseball team?
Oh boy, now you're asking me to stretch. I am going to say Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay. Tickets for Kramer Seinfeld reality tour. $1,000 to spend any way you want. That's a pretty good package.
Regina Community Radio, we need to big fundraiser for the station.
Absolutely, yeah. Check it out. So if you, I had a couple of other questions. I don't know that we have even time to get into it. I think we might have to do this again.
2012, you got Grey Cup on the brain. I know it's February, but this is, I mean, clearly in an 8-team league, Grey Cup should be the goal every year, obviously.
Oh, without a doubt. That's how I believe I start every season. I mean, that's a goal, but you got to look at, you know, you set your main goal, and then you got to start setting the small, working backwards, and what are the things that we have to accomplish, and right now, like I said, our goal is to win the off season, and we even break that down further in the office. I can't give, you know, any business secrets, but that's the main goal, without a doubt.
One more quick question, and on a lot of the Messam went to the States now, but all of the other teams in the West Division, all of a sudden last year, it seemed like a Canadian running back popped out of nowhere. Do we feel that is a need in the ratio situation to find a serviceable Canadian back?
No, I don't believe so. I think, you know, chances are we're going to have an import tailback. It's great to see Canadian kids getting the opportunity to play what's traditionally been an American spot, but it's based on talent.
Is it tough to have a Canadian back there? Because then the wisdom is that if you have, for example, if you have a Canadian starting corner, you have to have a guy backing him up. And it's tough to find one Canadian tailback, let alone two.
Exactly, and I think you see that in the way Stuart Ford went and signed in.
Yeah.
next time Jamal retires in BC and they sign out there, because you're exactly right. Because if you just have the one guy and then he gets hurt, now you've got to change your whole structure to replace that non-import.
I could go on for another hour, but we are at the end of ours. So offensive coordinator Coach Bob Dice, thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule. And, well, lifting the restraining order that you you had against us. We do appreciate that. You're listening to Game Day Radio, 91.3 FM, CJTR. We'll be back in a week.